Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome back. Good to be with you. Third hour, this day is just flying.
Flying by.
My
word. You know, anytime we want to just mix things up a little bit, you just type in Florida man and here you go.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, the state is the gift that keeps on giving. A Florida man accused of dealing drugs and promoting dog fighting was caught keeping a 9-foot alligator on his property. Google it. You will get results.
A 9-foot what? Alligator?
A drug bust in Florida landed a man in jail this week and led to the rescue of a 9-foot alligator and sadly multiple neglected dogs that they believe were used for dog fighting, according to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Apparently, authorities received a tip about a house on the north side of Jacksonville that was being used to distribute illegal drugs. So can you imagine being one of the officers, one of the detectives? They send you in, probably SWAT style, because you think this is a drug house. And it was.
Yeah.
But when you get there, you find a 9-foot alligator along with oxycodone and several guns.
Well, with one, you must have the other.
Duh. Who's going to protect your stash?
There were multiple dogs on the property, as well as dogfighting equipment, trophies, and books. He likes to read at night in between the dogfights.
Wait, books like about dogfighting?
It doesn't say, Sam, just books.
Why include that? Everybody has books
know,
in their
Sam,
house.
No, Sam, I don't. If you have a 9-foot alligator and you're running an illegal dogfighting ring, I don't think you're reading War and Peace at night. I'm just saying.
His library card
was probably suspended.
I'm with Sam on that one. I mean, let's say that I was doing something illegal in my home, right? Let's say, let's just say drugs. And would they point out that I had a lot of books in my house?
And in a drawer in the kitchen, we found silverware.
And 850 compact discs.
I think we need to focus on the nuisance alligator that a nuisance alligator wrangler had to be called to safely remove it. A nuisance alligator wrangler.
Who else are you going to call?
I don't know, Scott. I've never had a nuisance alligator in my home.
This guy certainly is not dealing good life advice.
No. No, not at all. Did you guys see the Australian reporter who was shot with a rubber bullet yesterday in Los Angeles?
God.
I'm not getting into this.
No, we are not.
But that police officer directly aimed at her.
She was delivering a report with the microphone in hand.
She was not too close.
Nope.
She was not reporting bad or wrong information. She was not encouraging
trouble. She was a working member of the press,
period. She was an Australian reporter, and she was shot with a rubber bullet, and people were furious.
Can we backtrack for half a second?
To the alligator?
We're so naive, guys.
What?
Books are gambling ledgers.
Oh.
We are so naive. It's obvious that none of us have ever done any criming.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
We are stupid.
So he's a bookie.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't they say that? It said books. I thought they meant Little Women.
Taking bets for the dog fight. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
In addition to dog fighting, his hobbies include reading, writing poetry.
He's a poet.
He's a big fan of The Great Gatsby.
Anyway, okay, guys. I need focus here.
There's a lot of Edward Allan Poe.
It's Edgar Allan Poe.
Edward?
Okay.
My apologies.
Oh, my God.
Protesting. Very serious topic.
Yes, so we're...
Shot with a rubber bullet.
We're, yeah.
I would like to protest our understanding of criminal enterprises.
Well,
we should be jailed.
I'll join.
Guilty?
Yes.
books.
So, Edward Allan Poe.
So now it just keeps getting worse.
Is he the author of The Ravens?
Oh, God.
Anyway, we are monitoring the situation in California. And if it warrants going to it, we will.
They are currently standing with full riot gear outside of the same building that they have been protecting from the protesters for the last 4 days.
Believe it's the federal building.
Okay.
Water bottles, frozen water bottles and rocks have been thrown.
I haven't seen that today.
They were just talking about it moments ago. I was listening to CNN and they were saying
it was happening at that moment?
That is correct.
I have not seen that. Okay. We now know who owns La Tierra Taco Shells.
Yes.
The mystery has been solved. It is General Mills.
Are we unveiling this news on a Tuesday?
Yes, we are.
Taco Tuesday.
The Gladstone-based taco shell brand. That kind of smarted, didn't it?
Ow!
That's what you get for slamming your hand on the desk so much.
Ow! Okay, General Mills.
General Mills.
God.
What'd you hit, your knee?
My funny bone on my knee.
The text line, is there a gas leak in the studio? No. You guys are not okay.
I'm fine. She's not.
Oh my God, that hurt. Can we not have a desk made out of something else?
Like what? Rubber?
I don't know.
Jinx.
You owe me a Coke.
Continue on.
So Edward Allan Poe bought General Mills taco shells.
Yes. Thank you, Edward.
And General Mills now owns La Tierra Taco Shells based out of Gladstone.
When can we have them back?
It does not say in the story, but General Mills confirmed to the Star yesterday that they have acquired all of the assets.
Wow.
To La Tierra.
I'm very concerned about this.
Why? They've got to keep the same recipe.
They'll keep the original. This is good news because they're going to keep the original recipe. And with a company like General Mills, which has deep pockets, La Tierra doesn't go out of business ever again.
Until they decide that recipe is too expensive to make.
Oh, I don't think so, Sam. What, are they going to add cornflakes?
Well, Sam, the purpose of buying it is to sell the product. If the product is changed, who's going to buy it?
The purpose of buying it is to sell the brand.
Mm.
Taylor Swift has filed for a restraining order against a 45-year-old man that she says has been showing up at her Los Angeles home for almost a year.
Oh, my God, that scares me to death.
Claiming to be in a relationship with her. How do you make it makes her feel? The megastar filed a request for protection on Friday, saying that Brian Jason Wagner of Henderson, Colorado. Will you look him up if you don't mind? Let's see if he's a catch.
Yeah, pronounced crazy.
Brian Jason Wagner of Henderson, Colorado has been harassing and stalking her, causing her to suffer emotional distress. Wagner first started showing up at her home in July of 2024, allegedly, made at least 3 visits to the property in that month alone. He was confronted by her security team every time. During one of those visits, Wagner was, quote, carrying a glass bottle that could have been used as a weapon.
Oh, my gosh.
According to Taylor Swift in the declaration, during each of these visits, I am informed that Mr. Wagner made various statements about living at my property.
Oh,
not true.
He's like the Jennifer Aniston stalker guy.
Being in a relationship with me. Not true. Believing I am the mother of his son. Not true.
Whoa.
And needing to see me in person, all of which are untrue and disconnected from reality.
Listen to this. Her team said it conducted a criminal background check and discovered that Wagner was allegedly incarcerated. Look, you're either in jail or you're not. In 2023, when he began attempting to contact her. Now, do you read that he was incarcerated when this started?
Yes. He was it says here in my story, was incarcerated in 2023 when he began sending her lengthy communications.
Hundreds of times while incarcerated.
Yeah.
I still can't find a photo of the guy. What does crazy
look like? Well, it's not like
he
doesn't have a mugshot somewhere. He's due in court on June 30th.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
Do these people not have anything else going on?
No.
No, they're crazy.
You know the Jennifer Aniston stalker guy thought she was Rachel and thought they were married.
And he drove from Mississippi to California to drive through her front gate to get arrested. I don't have enough time to become this involved with somebody I don't even know.
The elevator is not going up to the top floor
no.
there, Sam.
So okay. She's also had a man who stalked her New York home about 30 times.
Well, one of them got in.
And an Iowa man who was arrested near her Rhode Island home in 2019.
Okay.
Well, for like a year and a half, she was being escorted out of her New York residence.
Yes.
In a suitcase. And her bodyguards would load the suitcase into a van.
Really?
Then she would get out of the suitcase.
They're literally a bodyguard. They stuff her body into a suitcase. The only known time that's ever happened because someone requested it. To whisk her to safety. I know.
She's very rich. She's a billionaire.
What, are you going to build a wall and a moat? I mean, you know, I think they have all of those things at their disposal. At their disposal to the extent that they can, Scott, but you have to leave your house at some point.
I mean, something tells me that Jennifer Aniston didn't or has on-site security.
Yes,
for
she
a
was home when he drove through that gate.
I mean, she has a 24-hour Jennifer Aniston's police department on her property.
Well, with the royalty she's getting from friends, I'm not worried about whether she can afford it. You know, they make $20 million a year just off the friends' royalties.
Oh,
fair
yeah.
point. Not
Each
to mention
person.
All the other movies.
Each person on that show will make $20 million a year as long as it's in syndication.
When we get back, stop mailing checks. Stop mailing checks. A man has pleaded guilty to stealing this thing that we've talked about from post office people to go in, steal mail.
What, check washer?
And wash your checks, whatever that means. Maybe he had a dogfighting ring on the side. I don't know.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright.
Books.
Sam Stevie's
III. Delivering a lot of books.
My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, stop mailing checks, people. Scott, I'm talking to you.
Okay, what's going on?
If you're 90 years old or Scott, this next story is for you.
That's not fair.
A man has pleaded guilty to using what they call an arrow key and stealing mail in New York. And I'd love to hear from our postal carriers on this. Are you looking over your shoulder? Is your head on a swivel? Because there have been so many high-profile cases of these keys being stolen because it is, in effect, a universal key. And if you're trying to get in as a ne'er-do-well into someone's box, like the big community boxes of mail, it is the golden ticket to do so. So a 25-year-old has pleaded guilty to using one of those keys to steal mail in New York. This was a federal charge because it is the United States Postal Service. Antonio Jones of Buffalo faces 10 years in prison and a $250,000
fine. $250,000
fine. Now listen to this from his attorney. I don't think he understood the magnitude of his actions
okay.
at the time.
Okay.
You know what that means? That's code for he didn't know this was a federal crime. Not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, he said, he was a pawn in a much larger organization that he, quote, had very little, if any, knowledge of. According to a complaint filed in October, police found a substantial amount of sealed and open mail in a car that Jones was riding around in with two others.
So the defense attorney is saying, well, he's not guilty because somebody else told him to do it.
He didn't realize the magnitude of the crime. That is code for he didn't know this was federal and he's going away for a very long time.
And I would bet he probably didn't even know how to endorse a check. I remember a couple years ago when I was in rehab, it was near the end of the month and I always go to the bank to pay my mortgage. You know that. And I called Sarah and I said, hey, you're going to have to help me out because I've got my card here at
yeah.
rehab. And I said, so go into the home office and open the desk drawer. There will be a checkbook there. And she's like, okay. I go, I need you to fill it out and run it over to Cap Fed. And I told her what the amount was.
She Googled the check game on the Price is Right.
And God loves Sarah, and she's the apple of her daddy's eye. And she goes, uh-huh. I go, honey, you don't know how to write a check, do you? And she goes, I've never had to write one, Dad.
Never done it.
And I ended up calling Heather Mead, my neighbor across the street.
Do you mind?
And she goes, what's going on? And I said, can you go across the street and help Sarah write out a check so I can stay in the house?
Listen to this. This was a sting operation that led to these arrests, and there was more than one. Law enforcement officials found, before the traffic stop where they found these guys, right? They found all kinds of complaints in Buffalo about stolen and opened mail. So officials traced it back and figured out that it was a very specific collection of boxes that were being targeted for theft. One of the locations identified, they staked it out, they waited, and sure enough, here come three ding-a-lings. They get out of the car, they open the back of one of the mailboxes. The third guy's appearing to look as a lookout, police move in, arrest them, and basically the excuse was, we didn't really know what it was we were taking.
Okay, sure you didn't. You know, but I get the joke and your point, you know, about not writing checks. Because they can be stolen, they can be washed, but it's no different than if you told me don't use your credit card at a gas station pump because they're card skimmers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I'd rather you steal a check than get the numbers on
my card. Issue is, how would you ever know your mail was stolen?
You wouldn't until you got your bank statement.
We get junk.
Yeah.
We get bills.
Yep.
How would you know, if there's something of significant value coming to you, and this story was in the Stack the other day, where a guy had his entire retirement savings check mailed.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Sam?
I do.
Mailed to him. Look this up. Mailed to him.
I'm just going to listen to the story.
And do you know what the institution said? Like, someone got into the mailbox. Let's say it was $192,000. It was his entire retirement.
And it was a cashier's check, which is easier to manipulate.
Someone stole it out of the mailbox or through the mail service or whatever, cashed it. He is out, O-U-T, out, has no money for retirement.
Mm.
So I will tell you this. If it's a large amount of money, you guys, please don't have it mailed to you. Do an electronic transfer every single time.
The only thing we get in the mail, we get junk. We get bills, we get statements from investments.
Yeah.
You know, if one of the mutual funds I have sells something and takes the proceeds and buys some other stock. Here's what I can't figure out. And I know probably legally they have to do it, but I get home last night from work and I see that there is a check. It's a corporate check of some capacity.
And you can tell in the window.
Yeah, usually you can. But anyway, it was a corporate check, and it was made out to T, and it was from Advent Health over here.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, oh, she must have overpaid on a bill. We're going to Applebee's tonight. It was for $1.14.
Oh, don't spend that all in one place.
That's what I told her.
Now you can get that operation you've been needing.
I mean, why even bother? It's a dollar.
Listen to this quote from a postal police officer who gave an interview to The Sun. The Postal Service is under attack. It has become a very dangerous job becoming a letter carrier because thieves are going after postal carriers for these keys, thinking, now I can go all around town and steal the mail. Why do we still have the archaic lock and key system?
One size fits all.
That's your answer right there.
Mm-hmm.
So say that you are a postal carrier that services, I don't know, the Plaza, for example. Mm-hmm. How many condos, apartment complexes, multi-family housing units are around the Plaza that probably use a general mailing system where it's all in one spot? Well, then they have to go down to Scott's neighborhood, and those are all community mailboxes. So now we have 78 keys.
You cannot tell me, Sam.
On one key ring, and they look like a janitor plus.
Of 2025, you cannot tell me there's not another way to do it.
like some sort of electronic
something
thing on your
something.
But then who's not going to hold up a postal carrier and take their phone?
I don't know what the answer is. It's not the universal key.
And the real answer is, yes, there is something, Dana, where they could do it like
a touchpad.
Well, similar to the two-factor authentication that we have here, many people have, where the code changes all the time. Mm-hmm. They could do something like that and put in electronic touchpads. But the cost, and this would be a USPS cost, to put those in at every single community mailbox mm-hmm. would bankrupt an already bankrupt company.
913-586-7798. When we get back, another reason why being a postal carrier is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dog attacks on postal workers have reached a seven-year high. According to U.S. Postal Service data, with more than 6,000 dog attacks recorded last year. Attacks are up 5% from 2023, 15% from 2022, with the highest rate of attacks in
Missouri,
the Midwest.
It's not just the Midwest, Scott. It's Missouri. We win.
Is it Missouri?
In the worst kind of way. Every single year, we are the number one worst.
Here are the cities ranked in order, and we'll do the top 10.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe this is
top 10 worst.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And this is not per capita. This is total number of dog attacks in the cities. Would you care to guess?
St. Louis.
St. Louis is number four.
Kansas City.
Is number seven.
Springfield.
In the United States. No, they're much bigger.
Detroit.
No. So I'll go from 10 to 1. Denver is 10.
Okay.
San Diego, Cleveland, Kansas City, Missouri, Dallas, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles.
Wow. I'm mm-hmm. telling you, if you look per capita, I am pretty sure Kansas City and St. Louis are like 1 and 2 and 2 and 1.
Missouri is only one of two states with more than one city.
Told you. It's
Cleveland
bad.
And Cincinnati in Ohio and Kansas City, Missouri and St. Louis in Missouri.
Is that because we are the puppy mill capital of the world? Is it because we don't have a handle on our animal control?
I don't know.
Why are we always the worst when it comes to dog things?
The worst six states in these United States, and again, we're not doing per capita here, we're just doing
total number of dog
attacks on a post worker. Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Ohio. All
Why?
In the Midwest. All
Why?
In the Midwest. I don't know. Because people aren't tying up their dogs. Letting them just roam. We have a big old dog across the street, and he's geo-fenced in. You know how you can do that now?
Yeah.
With your property? It's really cool.
The invisible fence?
Yeah, the invisible fence,
very
right.
Nice.
And the dog, it's a boy. He has a very unfortunate name. His name is Stormy.
It's better than Ahsoka.
Okay.
That's my sweet daughter's dog's name, Sam.
We will not besmirch that name again on this program, and I'm sorry that I brought it up. Do you want to give everyone the heebie-jeebies right now?
Well, wait, what did Stormy do?
Well, Stormy is a very sweet, very sweet, but terrifying dog. If I was a postal worker, UPS guy, yeah. Amazon, there and Stormy's outside all the time.
Yeah, you got to put Stormy inside.
I would not approach that house. if I was an Amazon worker.
The problem is they don't know.
He looks really, the problem is they don't know. I know. He looks mean, but he's super sweet.
Well, I've already pooped my pants by the time I figured that out.
Yeah.
All right, listen to this. Oh, I don't want to talk about it, but we're going to. A cave-dwelling tarantula at home in total darkness has been rediscovered after 133 years.
I saw this in a stack.
A cave-dwelling tarantula not seen since it was first described in 1892 has been rediscovered. Thankfully, it's in the Philippines.
Huh.
French naturalist Eugène Simon first discovered the Ornithischius palatus in the Caltabanician caves of the Philippines. It was in that same cave system where researchers confirmed its continued existence 133 years later.
How do they know it's the same spider?
Well, because they have studied this, Scott, and if you read, like I do, the peer-reviewed journal Subterranean Biology, June 5th edition, you would know this. Researchers said that Simon only got a quick observation of the tarantula, but based on his descriptions, it is the same one. It lives completely and exclusively in the darkness of caves. Physical characteristics include...
large.
Oh, God. Distinctly tiny eyes, elongated legs, and light body color confirmed the species to be a, quote, true troglobitic tarantula and one of 19 known worldwide to exist in Asia. Ah! Oh, there it is. Oh, God. Oh, you guys.
He's a big one.
If I saw that thing, I wouldn't need to run. I would be dead. I would have a heart attack, some type of massive coronary event on the spot. Oh, God, it's hairy. Ugh.
They're all hairy.
Those things make me gag. It's so gross. It's so gross.
You need to go to the pet stop in downtown Shawnee. They have a bunch of tarantulas over there.
No, I'm good.
You feed a tarantula? A hissing cricket?
Okay, I don't want to talk about it. The tarantulas display, listen to this, heightened sensitivity to ground movements. They retreat to their burrows when they were approached from more than 3 feet away. Do you know what that means? That means someone had to approach the thing from 3 feet away.
That is correct. Do you want to see what tarantula eyes look like close up?
I don't. You'd have
up?
To kill me. It's so disgusting. It's really gross.
They have two big ones and then four little ones underneath.
Do you know what that looks like? It looks like that in Star Wars when they go into that bar and there's all those weird things drinking at the bar. It looks like one of those things.
Yep.
Juveniles were observed preying on insects 3 times their body size. Can they kill you? Do you guys remember the hit network TV event Tarantula back in the 70s when we were growing up? It was a big deal.
No.
Oh, it's terrible. It was the worst movie ever, but like everyone gathered around the TV to watch it.
Tarantulas are not generally deadly to humans. While their bites can be painful, they are usually not life-threatening.
And death from a tarantula bite is extremely rare.
Now, tell that to anyone who watched that movie in the 70s.
Their venom is not fatal to humans.
But they will inject from their fangs when they bite.
Please look this up. It was called Tarantula, the Deadly Cargo, and the year was 1977.
Of course it was.
An airplane carrying coffee beans from South America has some unpleasant stowaways. A horde of tarantulas which overcome the pilots. It got 4 out of 10 stars.
Yeah, I bet it did. Like snakes on a plane.
It's bad. It's so bad. But so good.
It was made for TV movie.
Oh, no. You don't remember everyone gathering around the TV to watch this?
Mm-mm.
What would you prefer, a plane full of snakes or a plane full of tarantulas?
Snakes.
Wow. I expected some thought there.
No way.
Okay.
God, those things are gross.
I wouldn't even hold one. Like, if somebody brought a tarantula in here, don't even think about it.
I remember. I would have been, 77. I would have been 5 years old. 5 years old. I'm telling you right now.
No, you wouldn't. You would have been 3.
It was in 77.
You were born in 74.
Oh, that's 3. Why?
Oh, my.
Why do I remember?
What year were you born?
Oh, my God.
Why does he know that better than you do?
I don't know. Why do I remember a scene where there's oranges in a truck? Tell me on the text line that I'm not making this up. I very specifically remember 2 things about this movie. God, was I three? Oranges in a truck, like a truck that's delivering oranges to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I remember a scene in the movie where one of those disgusting hairy things is walking over the oranges. And there was very, like, you know, the organ music, the very, like, I don't know.
Well, the plane
scary
they were
music.
On was carrying coffee beans.
Okay. Then I remember, God, this is so weird. A woman was laying down on a blanket, like having a picnic. She was laying down on a blanket, okay, like sunning herself. I don't remember, but she was very pretty.
Okay, now hang on for a second. According to the Wikipedia write-up, the plane crashes after the tarantulas storm the cockpit
of
and
course.
Attack the pilot.
Yes, yes.
The city's emergency response system moves to aid the downed aircraft and its pilots because it's a cargo plane,
yeah.
Not a passenger plane. A fire breaks out at the crash site, and the deadly tarantulas scurry from the location toward a nearby orange grove.
I knew it! I remember oranges. Okay, now wait, here's the other thing. Tell me on the text line this is one of my core memories, and what does that say about my brain? There's a woman on a blanket, and she thinks her boyfriend is, like, tickling her toes, okay? And she goes, stop it. Oh, stop it, you. But it's not the boyfriend. And the camera goes down to her foot, and then it just goes, and it's a tarantula, and she's dead.
Okay.
This is why everyone
and
my age are terrified
dead?
Of those things. Yeah, it killed Sam. In the movie, when the tarantula gets near you, you just die.
That character's name was Cindy Beck, played by Deborah Winters.
Are you kidding me? Am I right in remembering that?
It doesn't specify that particular scene, but about
cut it out. You're tickling me.
You remember that, but not the year you were born.
How was I? I think I had a traumatic, cinematic childhood.
Clearly.
Now, Scott, you said you wouldn't hold somebody's tarantula. Would you hold somebody's snake?
As long as it's not venomous.
Okay.
Do you know what Johnny told me? Do you know how you know if it's going to kill you? Huh? Fun fact.
It bites you and you die?
No. If a snake's eyes are round like our eyes, okay? Mm-hmm. Just normal black round circles, it's not going to kill you. If they are
you saying, you're saying white people's eyes are normal?
No, I'm just saying if the snake's eyes are round,
okay
like a normal round eyeball, they're not going to kill you. If it is a slit.
Oh, I see. You mean the pupil.
The pupil, the inside part. If it's a slit, it's going to kill you.
Huh.
I never knew that until a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to remember why it came up.
913-586-7798. What year were you born?
74.
913-586.
You
I know. I caught it too. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Get to the calls here in just a second. Just real quick, some breaking news from the world of journalism. ABC News is parting ways with veteran correspondent Terry Moran 2 days after he posted on Twitter calling President Donald Trump and Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, quote, world-class haters. ABC said this afternoon that Moran's contract was about to expire and, quote, based on his recent post, which was a clear violation of ABC News policy, we have made the decision to not renew. Johnny in Lee Summit. Johnny, hello.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Hi,
we are
good.
Doing better than we deserve.
I just wanted to clear up some slight Dana misinformation.
Is it my birth year?
Yeah, you're way off. No, the deadly snake facts. The round pupils for Kansas and Missouri, yes, it means they are non-venomous. If it is the slotted, like you're talking about, it means they're venomous, but it does not mean they're going to kill you. Like, the copperhead's venomous, but it's not going to kill you. Only on a very, very, very rare occasion will somebody die from a copperhead bite.
So, let me just say this, Johnny, and thank you for the information. My dad just texted me. I just got back from the golf course and would like to say, if you're close enough to see a snake's eyes, it's very likely too late.
That's a great point. Please don't bite me, Mr. Snake. I need to check your pupils.
We have a lot of black snakes in the backyard by our house, and I was out there one. They're. I think they're venomous. Sam, could you check on this? I think they're venomous, but they won't kill a human, or maybe they'll bite and it hurts, but they're not. I can't remember. But I remember standing by one of our magnolia trees on the back patio, and it was apparently in the tree as it slithered down one of the big branches on the tree. And this black snakes are not small.
We have a high school student that was airlifted to safety after he was bitten on a, Sam, remote fishing trip. 17-year-old Zane Shaw needed 12 vials of antivenom over 3 days to recover. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't each antivenom shot like, I don't know, $1 million or something insane?
I don't know if it's $1 million, but I know I get the point you're trying to make.
I mean, you have to do it.
Yep.
By the way, if it is a Western rat snake or the Pantheriophis obsoletus, it is non-venomous. But
listen to this. He told reporters, I felt a prick. It was painless. I looked down and thought, there's no way that just happened. But he said, I looked down and I saw blood coming out and I knew it was deadly.
I'm glad he's okay.
He's going to survive.
It'll get you.
Yeah, every time.
That thing can reach up to 7 feet. My God. His body began to tingle.
That's a big one.
He developed pins and needles, and then he thought he was going into shock. It took 2 hours for rescuers to reach him. So I don't go in the woods, people.
Okay.
Oh, that's why.
Quick break. Dan Weinbaum's got the news coming up in just a moment.
How do we get dumber by the minute?
Because we're on this show. It's required. My God. It gets dumber by the day. Dan Weinbaum's got the news coming up in exactly 2 minutes here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.